taxi fees are due. That's it for today.
Bud Light. Crisp. Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Your high school student is much more than a test score at Greenville University. Greenville University, a Christ-centered institution, values character and service just like the employers who hire their graduates. Greenville University's Panther Preferred Scholarship awards up to $18,000 annually for students of character and service. No minimum test scores, no minimum GPA, Panther Preferred, the scholarship that recognizes students of character. Apply at greenville.edu.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear?
You don't need much of a coat today.
And that happy tune is your step.
Not really winter-like.
Life can be so sweet.
Nice.
On the sunny side.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
With those blue.
Wow, that sounded just like Captain Kangaroo.
I know.
But I'm not afraid. This rover.
Oh, it's Gene Creamin' time.
Now, somebody will email me, so let me stop it before they do and say, well, that was Mr. Rogers, not I know that. The Captain Kangaroo thing was a joke. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome aboard. This is the 3 hours of the day that you're not going to have to get upset or mad or argue with anybody. You just sit back and
listen to us argue.
And let us do that. Leave the arguing to us. That's exactly right.
That was well put, Dan.
Glad to have you with us. It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. I have a lot to talk about today, especially when Mr. Buffa comes in next hour, because I saw yet another movie last night. And for as boring as I thought The Irishman was, this movie was way beyond what I expected. It was fantastic. It was so good that my wife, who was sitting next to me, has a tendency to talk to the screen. She forgets it's film. They're not really there. And she's clapping and talking and coaching and yelling. And I said, hey, you know, there's other people here, and it's a movie. And we'll talk about what that was next hour when Dan Buffa gets here. It is the 19th of November, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
It was the 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
Okay, so according to the song, it's the 3rd of June.
June,
yeah. Okay.
Just off by a couple of days.
Missed it.
So Dan sent me a text. You guys probably got it too. Of a, I guess on the way in, Dan, you saw a truck carrying a bunch of turkeys.
That was
I got Dan's text as well.
So when you do the multiple things, sometimes I look at the response, and that's not the original text. Okay. When I saw those turkeys, I'm thinking, I don't know what kind of brain a turkey has, but let's just assume the turkeys are talking to each other, you know, while they're on the truck. Obviously, they're headed for Thanksgiving dinner. They don't know that. So they got to be thinking, you know, all of our lives, we've been in that place, and now, we're on a truck, and we get to take a ride. This is great. I like that breeze. You know, dogs stick their head out the window. Turkeys are probably fighting for a space to get their head out the window. At what point do they start to get the picture, this is not good? Or do they ever?
I think when they see the first axe fall, that's when the look of concern gets...
So that's not even how they do it, though. I mean, it's like a conveyor belt of how they kill them.
How do they do it?
Sometimes they shock them and they hang them up, and then this kind of like chainsaw conveyor belt just slits their throats as they go through.
You know, right now you're really upsetting the vegans and the PETA people. Right
I'm not the one who's doing that.
No, I know. They don't even want to hear about it.
I honestly drove past this truck, took photos of it, and sent it to everybody on the show. And I said, really I said, these turkeys look like they have a sad look on their face.
They do. They look really unhappy. I know. That's why I'm eating duck this Thanksgiving.
But don't you ever wonder, like, do they get it? Even if they saw, they arrive at the destination, and then they see their friend.
I'm pretty sure pigs can get. I'm pretty sure pigs know. They know something's coming up.
I don't know what pigs do, but I think cows do. And in fact, there were some cows that escaped the slaughterhouse in St. Louis a couple years ago, and David Backus.
Yeah, I remember.
And a couple other people adopted them and prevented them from going to the slaughterhouse after they escaped.
I'm not a vegan, far from it, or a PETA person, but would it be that big a deal for them to just knock these things out before they slaughter them? I mean,
well, they
just
do.
Unconscious.
They do. Yeah, they
do. They don't?
Yeah, they do. They either electrically shock them so that they're
that's
paralyzed.
That's different. I mean, like
unconscious.
A dart, like a tranquilizer dart.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you've got to make sure that it's effective. That's why back in the day they just used a hammer it's effective.
But an even bigger issue these days, Frank, isn't how they're killed. It's how they're treated while they're alive. Mm-hmm. And there are states, and I believe Missouri is in this, in which they are requiring that their chicken farmers raise their hens and chickens in cage-free environments because they were essentially confined to a cage that was barely bigger than them for their entire life.
Well, do we know? But we don't know that they're even aware of it. I mean, we don't. So they're assuming that they're miserable. This makes them miserable. So we're assuming that. So let's just say...
Well, I mean, there's the... it is pretty relevant. Like, you can tell if there is, a chicken farmer that is not doing a very good job of keeping his chickens healthy, then, you know, they'll get diseases or they get infections, and that moves on to the meat that then we eat. You know, it reduces the quality of the chicken. So, like, you know, I mean...
Okay, well, that's a whole different thing, though.
Oh, that is, but...
Let's say they're fed properly and they're fattened up, and then they go and they're slaughtered. To the people who get so bent out of shape, and I watched a documentary. It was narrated by Paul McCartney, and it was slaughterhouses, and I watched it. And when I watched it, there was like a disclaimer that said, once you see this, you'll never want steak again. I think I had steak or hamburger that night after I watched it, so it didn't have that effect on me. But I will say, when an animal is screaming, they're in pain, they're hurting. Why couldn't we just knock them out, out cold, in a coma? You're unconscious. Then we do, whatever.
Well, that's the thing. Like, they're screaming right up before, because they are rendered unconscious in some manner.
Yeah, but the way they make unconscious, a thump in the head with a hammer or a stun gun, that's cruel. Why couldn't we just dart them or give them a shot or something?
I don't know. That could work.
Or corral them into a chamber with some sleeping gas. And they just all drift off, and then you process them. Why couldn't you do that? Mm. I don't know the answer.
Can you, gas chamber them?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're going to kill them and eat them. And by the way, I have no problem with that either. And the people that do, let's go back to nature. Go watch National Geographic and watch an animal run down another one while it's alive and rip it apart and eat it while it's alive. Okay? That's what they do to each other.
Right.
We are animals. And we eat other...
She does what? She does that. She runs animals down and eat them alive.
And raw. That's how she gets their prey.
Oh, yeah, raw.
So we're animals that eat other animals, just like most animals are. And you got to kill them to eat them. We don't chase them down alive and eat them raw like another animal would. So that's the way I look at it. And there's a reason they're on the earth. What would be the reason that and it's all a master plan. There's a reason there's a horse and there's a cow and there's a pig. Milk from the cows, steaks. What other reason would there be for them to be here? Why else would they be here? I mean, you just have to sit back and go, okay, whether you believe in God or not, let's say there's a creation in this universe. Why are these things here? Why are plants here? Plants are here because they give off carbon, they give off oxygen, and we breathe oxygen, and they take in carbon dioxide. What?
Cows were originally put on Earth to run security for, concerts and different things, because they'd go, move, move,
no,
to
don't,
the crowd.
Don't, That rim, don't. I can't believe you gave him a rim shot for that. That didn't deserve it.
Frank, I laugh when things are funny, and I laugh when things are so stupid that I have to laugh.
Let me guess which one that was. I didn't even have to guess. But seriously, I looked at those turkeys, and I always wonder about that. And I do believe there are levels of awareness and intelligence. I think pigs are smart, and dogs are obviously very smart. Cats are probably pretty smart. And torture is torture, and I don't like it. I don't like it. But I'm not ever going to be somebody that goes, well, we're going to all eat this artificial meat. By the way, there's a guy suing Burger King because he found out that his Impossible Burger, which is a plant-based whatever it is, it's not really meat. But I got to tell you something. I've tasted it. It tastes like meat. But he's suing them because they grilled it on the same grill that they grill beef. So it touched a grill that had beef on it.
OMG.
And he's suing. In my mind, this guy is an idiot. He's a vegan. He's a self-proclaimed vegan. And he said once he found out that, and here's the thing. In a lawsuit, In almost all cases, you have to show damages. In other words, what were the? Mm-hmm. How is this guy damaged in any way?
Emotional distress. Because,
yep.
Well, that's a ridiculous, ridiculous claim to me. If you're emotionally distressed because your Impossible Burger was put on the same grill where a real hamburger was, first of all, the real hamburger, any remnants of it as meat are burned up on the grill.
But
it's charred.
Let me give you a quick 60-second rundown of how this works in modern-day life, okay? I once walked onto somebody's property with an aluminum baseball bat in my hand as a licensed private investigator to pull a GPS device off of a vehicle that had broken down on a guy's farm.
Private investigator?
Yeah, I'll get to that later. He caught me, and he pulled a gun on me, and I dropped the bat. I told him why I was there, and I left his property, and he called the police, and I never saw his wife, never talked to his wife. His wife was in the kitchen. She said, Frank, who's out there? And he's like, call the police. So she calls the police, and I walked away and got in my vehicle with my colleague, and we took off. We got pulled over by the police. And I was cited for trespassing, and I went to trial on the matter. This woman sued my company because her damages were intentional infliction of emotional distress of seeing a large man with a bat on her property, and the lawyers flat out told me, if we litigate this, we're going to bill your insurance company $20,000, so we're just going to write her a $5,000 check to go away.
Oh,
wow.
And that's what these people do. They people understand.
No, that's what's going to happen here, too. This guy will get a check.
Well, that's my whole point. Is he'll get a check because clearly there's been people will write a check to make people go away, is my point
right.
to this.
Right, right. I'm not a big fan of that. I'm not. You know, Michael Jackson wrote a check for $23 million to that kid that said he got molested. Well, if I didn't molest you, I'm not giving you $23 million to go away. Sorry. That's a tremendous amount of money.
Well, you haven't molested me. How much will you pay me to go away?
Thank you, $23.
Great comment. I have a great comment. I can't make it yet. Check with me in about a year. Maybe I'll be able to talk about that. So levels of intelligence, like I think horses are fairly smart. I think any animal, most animals can. I don't know that a spider knows. If it looks up and sees the sole of your shoe coming down on it because you're going to stomp a spider, I'm not too sure they know what's coming, and I don't care.
Oh, it's yeah, they try and run from you.
They do?
Yeah, spiders will try and run and get out of the way.
That's right, because they got those eyes like they see all around them or something, like those 360-degree vision eyes, so... That was a great picture of those turkeys in that truck.
Could you imagine them going to an eye doctor?
That'll be $9,000 for an eye doctor. So is it not true that it's a myth that at Thanksgiving the pilgrims, they didn't have turkey? I mean, I've read that.
I don't know.
I think that was a myth.
Yeah, so how did we get to the point where turkey is like the thing for Thanksgiving when it wasn't
even
part of
that whole... Well, I know Benjamin Franklin really liked turkeys. So that might have something to do with it.
He's the guy that said, okay, it's going to be turkey from now on for Thanksgiving. Who is
I don't know if that, but I think he might have had something to do with making the turkey so popular. Like, I know he wanted it to be the national animal before the
national bird.
Yeah, the national bird.
The primary theory actually goes back to the Queen of England, Lanny.
Dun, dun, dun!
What?
The Queen of England during the 16th century...
Did we even have turkeys over there?
A fleet of Spanish ships during the 16th century sunk on their way to attack England, and according to legend, Queen Elizabeth received this news while eating dinner, and she was so thrilled that she ordered another turkey to be served.
No way.
And that's the legend as to how turkeys got associated with Thanksgiving.
Whoa. My wife doesn't like turkey. She hates turkey.
Really?
We'll have one, yeah, but she doesn't like it. She'd rather have anything.
Does she like chicken?
Yeah, she likes chicken okay, but only the wings.
Oh.
Only the wings. Yeah, she doesn't care about
that. That's like the wings. Are the wings the dark meat? Are the...
Yes.
No.
Wings are dark meat.
They are not.
Yeah, they
wings,
are.
Wings
the
are
little
white
chicken
meat.
Wings?
Wings are white meat, Frank. Wings and breasts are white meat. Thighs and legs are dark meat.
Thighs and legs.
I'm not going to argue with you. You've had more to eat than I have, so I'm not going to...
Wow.
You are 20 years older than me.
Snap.
I think...
That's why I can get away with it.
Oh, yeah.
Not that I want to make my intro any longer, but I was a meat cutter at Temple Stevens Grocery Store in Columbia, Missouri for 3 months.
That's going on the list right now.
No, I don't want you to add it to the list.
A meat cutter.
We already got enough.
Oh, a meat cutter.
You've got enough time.
And where?
I was a pork packer.
I was. Well, you saw
what?
Well, that's how you got that little. That's how you got that baby. That's why you have Theo, your son, because you were packing pork.
Right? But no, I actually pack pork. Like at a pork packing plant. Yeah.
See, now I'm getting people texting me saying that this Queen of England thing is BS.
Right.
It could be. I don't believe anything anymore. Anything online, I question everything. But I have read. Over the years, many, many times, there was no turkey at the whatever the occasion was when the pilgrims came over, you know.
The first Christmas.
There's a guy, Jim, on the phone that said that he can go back and tell us how cows used to be slaughtered. I don't know.
Oh, boy.
How do we know that Jim knows? He wasn't living, probably, back then. Let's find out.
No,
Jim,
but no, this is back in the 80s, I think he was saying.
Okay, well, let's find out. Jim, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Doing excellent.
Thank you. So what's the cow slaughter story?
All right. I used to work at a slaughterhouse up in Joslyn, Illinois.
Okay.
And I worked third shift cleanup. And at the end of the shift, come about 6:30, 7 in the morning, the kill floor would start up. And anyway, I'd sit around there and watch it begin. Mm. Sorry about that, Bernice. And I'd sit there and I'd watch. They had walkways up above the floor where you could watch. And
Jim.
Oh, got it.
Come on, man.
And
Jim, are you somewhere where you can light a candle?
Go ahead. The cows were corralled outdoors, where the cow trucks would pull up and they would run them off the trucks and they would corral them into like. Single file. Eventually, they'd all be single file up to a door, and that door would raise up, and they had these cattle prods. They'd push the cow in to a spot just big enough for one cow to stand, and that was the beginning of the kill floor. And there was a man who was standing up above the cow's head, and he had this cylinder-looking thing that looked sort of like the handle of a lightsaber, Star Wars, a cylinder. And you could twist that. You twist it, take it into two pieces, and they would put a .22 caliber cartridge into that. Okay. Now it didn't have the lead. Just the that it looked like to me. Now I don't know what it was. It looked like just the brass part, and they'd stick that in there, and then they'd twist it back together, and they would take that thing and tap it on the forehead of that cow. And that would cause a little explosive device in there to explode, and it would send like a 4 or 5 inch steel rod into the brain, and then it would retract back into the cylinder real quick. And that rod did enough to knock that thing, probably killed it instantly, and it would fall down, and a guy would jump down and put a chain around the cow's hind leg, hit a button, and bam, it began. The hoist would hoist that cow to the first station where a guy with a 2-foot-long butcher knife would bleed that cow. It would be hanging upside down. The head would be toward the floor, and it would go to the first inch, and that guy with that big old knife would, like, stick it under its chin or somewhere in its chest cavity, and it would just bleed. It was the bleeding station. And then, anyway...
Oh, boy.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
And I'll tell you what, man. They were quick what they did. They would go, and they'd go to the dehider, where it'd go there, and the guy would put some clips. He'd make a series of cuts around the leg and a series of cuts all over the body, and then he clipped up this thing to a machine, and he'd hit a button, and one swoop, that machine would rip the hide off of that cow.
Oh, wow.
And now it's just, you see the muscles, I don't know how quickly, but at the other end of this line, all that was left was the head. And there's no skin on the head. It's just the head going into the brain room. And I remember the muscles in the face of that cow and the eyes were still wiggling and looking around and as it was being going into the brain room. Just the head of the cow.
Now, after you work... Go ahead.
I was going to say... So you have two sides of beef at this point. They're still warm and by body temperature, but they go into a deep freeze for like... Man, a month or two, 3 months into a real cold deep freezer, huge. And it would come to the other end of this factory where the processing floor was, where I was a rib boner for about a year over there back in 84. I was actually a rib boner before I worked the kill floor area.
After you worked there, let me ask you this. While you worked there, did you eat hamburgers and steak and stuff?
Oh, heck yeah, man. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I would eat. When I was on the rib boning, sometimes you get a piece of meat because I wore chainmail gloves and I had real sharp knives, and there'd be a piece of meat that somehow was loose, and you could poke it with your knife, and there was a little wash station every 10 feet, and you could dip, and that wash station had steam going into, and you could heat that meat up, steam it so quickly. They would cook, and I'd go, and I'd have a piece right then.
Eating on the job. Eating the victims on the job.
Oh, wow. Man.
Hannibal.
Yeah, sure.
Well, at least here, the important part of the story is this. You just confirmed, at least in your case where you worked, that instantly, boom, that thing was put out.
They didn't suffer.
Oh, yeah.
No
oh,
suffering.
Yeah, definitely.
Now that eyes moving and head moving, that's just reflex muscle. That happens with human corpses sometimes. Something will jerk or move, but they were dead. The cow's dead instantly. That's good to know. And I know a lot of people right now are going, I had to turn away. I couldn't listen to him describe that. I get that. It's okay. And I understand that some people, they want to eat eggs, but they don't want to know or see where the hens live. They want bacon, but they don't want to see where the pigs live. I get it. But the fact is, if you eliminated all of that, we'd all be eating grass and kale
and fish, leaves,
and fit. Well,
maybe
on.
Not fish.
Who
potatoes.
Are we to say? That's who are true. We to say that when they clean fish and they're still flopping and kicking, they don't know what's going on? I mean,
hey Frank.
Yeah.
There's a good joke where there's some couple guys on the side of the road eating grass.
Oh, it's a great joke.
Oh,
yes,
it's
sir.
A great joke.
Awesome it'll joke. Come. It'll, We'd love it'll, to hear that today.
Well, now let me see. I'm trying to remember. I think it's been long enough, Jim. I actually do. Let me hang on.
All right.
I'll write this down. I'll forget it. I'm going to do this for you because you shared the slaughterhouse story with us. So great. Let me make a note here. Grass. That's all grass eating.
And
got
for
it.
Jim.
For Jim, grass eating. I will give that strong consideration. Thank you, Jim.
All right.
So this guy who's suing Burger King, here's what it's, his name is Philip Williams. He's a vegan, and he does not eat or drink anything that uses animal byproducts. I encountered somebody about 2 weeks ago who was talking about how they will not have anything to do with anything leather. I mean, they go that far. Not only vegan in what they take into their bodies, but they won't have... I would love to cross-examine I didn't want to get into it with a person, but I would really like, if I knew somebody better, to just really just tear into them with some questions, because you think that you are 100% whatever, but you're really not. You don't realize it, yet you're using animal byproducts. You are. It's like the guy that called me years ago and said, and at the time, a long time ago, I was speaking for a Toyota dealer. And he went on there and he goes, I can't believe it. Why don't you just move to Russia or somewhere? You're not American. I can't believe you're selling a foreign car. And I'm a USA guy. I'm 100% made in America. And I just said, What does that mean? He said, I don't buy one damn thing that's not made in the USA. And I said, yes, you do. And he goes, I do. And they got real mad. And I said, do you have a television? Well, hell yeah, I got a TV. I go, boom, you just lost. You just lost the argument. Because at the time, and I think it's still true, I think there's one company now, some little company that made, but there were no TVs made in there. Not even RCA, Thomson Electronics. That was taken over in Japan. I said, you have a microwave? He goes, yeah. I said, what is it? He went and looked. It was Japanese, sharp, Japanese. And then he realized he was losing. So he resorts to this. Well, I've got a Corvette. It's not a damn Toyota. And there's a car right there that every single piece of is 100% American. I said, well, you just lost again. That's not true. I said, a Corvette has a Bose sound system in it. All the components in Bose are from Japan. So you lost again. And he finally just hung up. But I feel the same way about some of these vegan people. And you look, you do what you can and you do your best to, you know, to stick to your guns, and I'm not going to eat any meat or fish or chicken. But again, you got to wonder. Sometimes I wonder, does it hurt a horse when people get up on their backs and ride them? If I'm a horse, I'd look back and go, what the heck? Get off of my egg on my back, man. But I guess people have studied it, and scientists and vets, and they've come to the conclusion the horse doesn't even really know you're on there. They're built.
Yeah, don't they weigh like 1,100 pounds or something?
Yeah, and they're actually made so that you get up on the back of a horse, you're like a fly on his back. Right. Unless you're Hoss Cartwright, unless you're like a 300-pound person getting on a small horse. But I used to wonder about that, and then I thought, well, wait a second, look at how they're built. Maybe that's by design.
I'm pretty sure.
In the mast, go ahead.
I'm pretty sure that in the 11 years I lived in Kentucky, which is huge horse country, there was a guy that told me that they did an experiment on that, and that horses don't feel pain when they're being ridden because they actually run faster with somebody on them than they do with somebody not on them. Because their heightened sense of adrenaline, I guess, elevates when a human is on their back, and they're actually able to travel at faster speeds even with that weight. I guess unless they were running in fear for their life by some predator or something, maybe they would run faster than if they had the weight on their back. But otherwise, yeah, they ran experiments and said otherwise.
Now, what about this? Well, let's just say this is the case. Let's assume there is a creator, like to think that, and he creates all this stuff, and he puts horses and cows and fish and whatever, and then sits back and goes, okay, human beings, let's see if you can figure out what to do with all this stuff. And then eventually we came up with, hey, we figured out how to make a wheel, and that fire would cook food, and hey, you can ride a horse, and a horse can pull things, and fish taste good, and we can eat chickens, and we can get eggs, and they're okay. A lot of people had to die in the process, experimenting. Let me taste this. Dead. Bad poison mushroom. You're dead. And maybe as he's dying, he scribbles a note. As he barely breathes, he's going, don't eat this. And he leaves a note, and then the people that follow him go, No, Fred ate that and he dropped dead. We can't eat that. Let's try this. And I'm sure that they got under lots of animals and drank their milk till they came to the conclusion that, we decided the cow milk is probably the best. There are a lot of animals that have milk. We don't drink dog milk.
There's goat's milk.
Cat milk. Goat. We drink goat's milk.
Yeah, we do.
But we don't drink elephant milk. Not,
well,
not that
over
I know
here,
of.
Anyway. I think somebody drinks, like, you know, elephant milk or camel milk or something.
So I always think about all the people way, 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 I mean, long time ago, who were wearing loincloths and had a homemade spear, and they're walking around trying to figure out, what can I eat that won't kill me? Somebody had to do that. They were the first guinea pigs, experimenters.
The first person that tried hallucinogenic mushrooms, and you know how they grow. They grow in cow poop.
Really?
So, yeah. So that person had to go up, the very first person had to go up and go, oh, a mushroom, and try it, and then he got
He told his buddies, try this.
Yeah.
Of course, there are mushrooms you drop dead. They're poison.
Yes. Hey, Frank, have you seen the movie Quest for Fire?
No.
I don't know if this is based on fact or not, but it certainly would be believable. It came out in the early 80s. In fact, as I'm Wikipedia-ing now, it came out in 81. Quest for Fire, this is a fascinating, they call it a science fantasy adventure, but it's basically about a tribe of cavemen who lived about 30 years ago who accidentally stumbled on fire.
30 years ago?
30,000 years ago. Sorry. Excuse me. Check that. 80,000 years ago. 80,000 years ago.
That's a long time
ago. And the whole plot of the movie is these cavemen who are struggling to keep the flame alive, and then they go and make bigger fires with it, but they keep this small flame alive because they don't want their competitors to know that they have it or where they're keeping it.
Right.
And that's a kind of a terrible explanation of this movie, but it's a fascinating movie about about human beings all of a sudden realizing that fire is something that exists in this world, and it can make your meat taste better, and it can keep you warm, and living a life without fire and heat versus all of a sudden just stumbling upon it and the impact it had on their lives.
I mean, think about this. It was an accident. Let's just go back, loincloth, spears, carrying a rock and a club, and grunting their own language, and then lightning hit something, and now they're looking at it going, and they back away, it's hot, they don't know what it is. But in the process of this forest fire, a couple of deer got burned or something, and they're starving, and all their vegetation that they used to eat is burned up, and they look down, and they smell a steak or something. Hey. So they tear off a piece of this burning animal and go, now the problem is, a rain comes, and the fire's out. How do you get the fire back? Now you got a problem. They've seen it. They liked it. It was warm. They were kind of chilly till the fire came. How do we get the fire back? Now that's a problem.
Do you know why cavemen pulled their women by their hair?
Yes.
Because if they pulled them the other way, they fill up with dirt.
Give me your email address. Go ahead. That was Dan Strauss with a very sexist.
Yahoo.com.
Okay.
But these guys act like half ape, half men in this movie. It's worth a watch. I remember watching it as a kid.
I think it's exactly the kind of stuff that I think about all the time, because I also think about, all right, they saw a fire, now they got to try to get it back. They don't know how to start a fire. They don't even know how the fire, they lightning, what the heck? They don't even know what happened there. Same thing with glass. You ever think about glass? A piece of glass is just like crystal clear hard substance. Now, how did somebody figure out how to make glass out of sand? You can't see through sand.
I'm guessing a lightning strike.
That's exactly what I think.
Or that, and they had like some massive fire on top of where there was a bunch of sand underneath.
And it melted.
Yeah.
And then they went over and looked, and instead of like volcanic whatever, there's these hard pieces of this clear stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you go from that to think, I'll bet I could find a way to take that, make it a clean, flat surface, clear it up a little, crystal clear, make a window out of it. Wow! It's amazing to me that there are people that figure that stuff out. Mm-hmm. But somebody did. Somebody had to. And then the wheel. Whew, there's a big one. I don't know who that guy was. And the sad thing is, there's no credit to anybody for the wheel. The wheel is everything. If it weren't for the wheel, you wouldn't have a watch. Your wristwatch is full of wheels. Clocks are full of wheels. Cog wheels, regular wheels. Everything is wheels. Cars are wheels. Internal parts of engines have little wheels. Somebody did all that. And I've said many times, if the world just disintegrated and 10 people were left, and there were 10 of us who were just regular, average people. Not extra smart, just like me. Just 10 people like me. Everything's destroyed. and we're left. We know we had air conditioning, but I'm telling you right now, not one of us is going to figure out how to start from scratch and make air conditioning again, or reading glasses, or anything, or a car, or a, we couldn't. We know it's possible. We had it before the world was destroyed, and I think all 10 of us would probably either just starve to death because we couldn't even figure out how to clean and kill anything without getting poisoned, or we'd just die from exposure because we didn't know how to cool or heat ourselves. I don't think I could figure any of it out. And you think about from that, a fire that was an accident, to glass, to the wheel, to look at what we have. Now, look what you carry with you in your phone every day. It's unbelievable to me. In a relatively short period of time, most of the stuff that we use is within the last 100 years. It's a relatively short period of time. So, I don't give anybody a headache. Enough of that. Does anybody have anything to say?
But we have a couple of calls.
Yeah, we got a couple of phone calls.
Well, let's take them. Let's start with Harold. Harold, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Doing good, Frank. How you doing? AM and PM.
Thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to bring up about that movie. It was a great movie. But one thing people might want to know, there's like no dialogue. They're like grunting and there's no talking the whole movie.
You're talking about the movie Tim mentioned?
Yeah.
What's it called again? Tim?
Quest for Fire.
Quest for Fire.
Quest for Fire. Yeah, it's a great movie, don't get me wrong, but there's just they don't talk.
That's okay. But, a lot of documentaries, nobody talks. It's just narration. No, I'll check it out.
No, that's good. And the other thing is, they get the fire from lightning, so they're kind of like following around trying to find, when they lose it, they're looking for, just stuff that's caught on. So that's, I just wanted to say that, Frank.
All right, that's what I appreciate it, Harold.
That's what I remember about the movie, is that lightning, I believe, is the origin of how they discovered fire, but then it extinguished, and they were so traumatized by that, and they're trying to frantically figure out how to get it again, and then they get it again, and then it extinguishes again.
Yeah,
years later, and so they're trying to keep this flame alit, 24/7, 365.
Was Tommy Chong?
I think that's a great idea. Tommy Chong.
No, somebody called and said that they saw this and thought Tommy Chong was in this.
I don't think so. That doesn't sound right.
No, I think it was narrated by John Hadley, but it. I don't believe it's an
option. And as they say, here comes the lightning coming down.
Hey, talk to George.
Fire.
George, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
I'm doing great, Frank. AM into PM.
Thank you. What's up, George?
Frank, I'll try to, interest you a little bit. I've got a firing range on the back of my property. This will be the 18th annual Black Friday bonfire at my house. As long as it doesn't rain, it's on. So from 2 to 4, we do a shooting range, and then we fire up the bonfire about 5 o'clock. We got all the amenities covered, bring what you want to drink, shoot.
I may stop you right there, George. I appreciate that, but I'm not coming. I'm not very sociable, and my yard is a firing range. I shoot guns, all kinds of guns, and have for 33 years that I've lived at my house, but I really appreciate that you would invite me. I'm just not that guy.
Yeah, I'm inviting all you guys.
These guys will be there.
All right.
You can ride with mama or whatnot, and
come out and do some
it's
shooting.
All good.
Yeah, that's very nice of you, George. And I know I'm a weirdo, but I just I'm not the most sociable guy. My favorite thing to do is go home. That's my favorite thing to do. But thank you. That's very nice.
Hey Tim, if you come out there, you got to sit on a hay bale by yourself in the corner.
Oh, that sounds like a lot.
Why, of fun. Why would you make him do that?
Oh, I was because he talks so much.
Oh. I like you, George.
Thank you, George.
Who's talking too much right now?
Have a good one.
Thank you, George.
He talks too much.
Yeah, that's very
nice.
We
have a good one.
Frank makes 93% of the words in this show, and he tells me I talk too much. I don't get that.
No comment. No, I don't think anybody.
So someone called and said that Tommy Chong's daughter was in that movie. Her name's Ray Dawn Chong. But he thought, he said for 30 years he's been saying it wrong. Ray Dong Chong.
It's Ray Dong.
Ray Don.
I'm pretty Don sure that's Chong. There's a joke there somewhere.
No,
sounds,
her name.
Still sounds Asian, doesn't it?
Her name is Ray Dong Chong. R-A-E uh-huh. Don. Uh-huh. D-A-W-N Chong. So it's okay. Tommy Chong's daughter.
Well, that is some great information to have.
Oh, yes, it is.
Who had the Burke segment? Anybody?
I think so.
Hang on, there's Lee on the phone. I did not put his name up.
No, you didn't. Lee, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
I'm doing great, Frank. How about all of you guys?
Well, let me check. How are we doing? We okay?
Great.
We're okay. We're good. Everybody's good.
Yeah, I'm doing great.
Well, AM and the PM. So I was listening to you talk about the vegan and his Impossible Burger cooking it or having it cooked where other burgers were cooked and
right.
complaining about it. So not necessarily supporting the vegan because I'm not a vegan, but another reason that someone could complain about such a thing is if they have a red meat allergy.
There is no red meat allergy. There's no red meat to be allergic to. The grill burned the previous meat.
No.
It's a grill.
You have to get your research guy on this, but Google red meat allergy and tick bites. So
I understand there's red meat allergy, but if I cook something on a grill and I complete cooking it, there's no trace of the red meat, the original meat. It's burned. It's gone. Now I put something else on there and cook
it. But if I eat cooked red meat, I can have a reaction from that. And it's a delayed reaction. It doesn't happen for 3 to 8 hours.
Okay.
So
there could be some cooked meat residue on the grill.
Correct. Yeah, kind of a cross-contamination thing.
Okay. So, my hunch is the guy's a nut. Here's my hunch. He's a nut, and he's looking for a quick payday. That's what I think. I could be wrong.
Absolutely. Yeah. He's looking for the quick hit on and complain about that.
No, he wants a paycheck, and he'll get one. He'll get one. Yeah, thank you,
unfortunately.
Lee.
Unfortunately.
Thank
right.
you.
Bye-bye.
I appreciate it. Bye-bye. No, I'm not, you know, I understand.
I mean, if they're cooking the steak, say, raw or medium rare, then, yeah, you're going to have possibly some residue left over on the grill, but only for a little amount of time before it is cooked off and it just becomes black char.
Or couldn't you split the grill up, too, on that instance, and one side of the grill has the regular meat,
that.
And the other side of the grill has
Let me tell you something. This lawsuit mentality, okay? I was at a family, I'm not going to name the place. This is a long time ago. And I was at the counter. And most of these places, when you're at the counter, or you can see the people in the French fry basket and doing what they're doing. I stood there and watched in the back, not right up by the counter where I was being waited on, but further on back, I watched a mentally challenged young man that they had hired, to their credit. He dropped a tray of, I believe it was like turnovers, like apple turnovers, some kind of like a pastry. He dropped them on the floor. I'm not making this up. Before he leaned down and picked them up and put them back on the serving tray, he reached back and dug deep into the crack of his pants to scratch his butt. He had a big itch, and he was digging deep. And then he reached down and picked with bare hand and picked these things up, put them on the tray. And when the woman brought my order and says, "Here you go," I paid for it, and I said, I don't know that I can eat here. Anything, but I'd like to have my money back. And she said, "Why?" And I said, "Well, I'm reluctant to do this because I don't want to have anybody lose a job. But at the same time," and I told her what I saw. And she got the manager. And the manager came over and I told him, and he said, "Thank you. I'm glad you told me." He said, "This is not the first time. We do try to employ people, give them a chance, but in certain situations, they're doing things maybe they shouldn't be doing." He was wonderful about it. Now, I could have sued them for emotional distress. "I can't eat at fast food places anymore because all I see is a guy's fingers up his butt crack, and I can't get it out of my mind." No, I could have done that, and I would have gotten a settlement check. I'm not that person. I'm not that person that wants to just do that.
Then Frank,
I felt bad for the guy. That poor guy, he was working and he had gotten a job and I didn't want him to get fired. And I asked the manager, I said, please don't fire him. I said, just can you give him something else to do, or he didn't touch food or something? He said, yeah, we'll see what we can do. I don't know what they did after that.
But. The movie Old School was like that. Do you remember that scene, Tim?
Which one?
Old School. Or not Old School. Not Old School.
Road Trip?
Road Trip, yes.
Which scene?
Road Trip, where they're in the restaurant and he says, I asked for my French toast plain without any powdered sugar on it. And the guy says, oh, my God, I'm sorry. And the waiter is actually Horatio Sands. And he takes it and then... He goes back into the kitchen.
Fat hairy guy.
Yes, and he throws the French toast up in the air and pulls his pants open in the back and starts walking around with it. And then he takes it and he licks it and everything, and then he throws it back on the plate and he goes, here you go, I'm so sorry. And
the kid takes a bite and he goes, oh, it's good.
Good.
Now, see, there's something that I know happens, but I don't want to know it. Like that hidden video, the investigative report, yeah. Dateline, or somebody did back in the kitchen of a restaurant, and they had the video of a guy who worked in the kitchen urinating in their pickle jar. Oh. So the pickles were soaking in this guy's urine.
Oh.
And then they would take them and serve them. And I thought, you know what, I almost wish I hadn't seen that. I can't get that out of my head. I still can't get it out of my head.
You eat pickles
but at the same
anymore?
Time, it's good to know that. It's good to know that stuff happens and kind of know where you're eating and who you're dealing with. And certain levels of restaurants have a lot of transient people in and out. They don't care. They don't take the job seriously. And I don't know. Education is knowledge is power. I guess I have to do a.
Oh, I didn't know if you had time for Russell or not.
I have 1 minute for Russell. That's about it. Russell, welcome to 590 The Fan. I got 1 minute. It's yours. Go.
Hey, AM and the PM, first of all.
Thank you.
Second of all, I redid a house in South City for my daughter, and we found that there was lead on the pane of the window. Called a couple of the big box stores, got a price, shot fixed. Called Window World, got a phenomenally better price. They knew everything that they would do that they needed to know to fix the problem. And I told my daughter to say, tell them your AM and the PM. And she wouldn't do it.
She wouldn't do it?
Oh, what?
Oh, man, she doesn't know how this works. That's everything. That's our lifeblood.
I know.
You call them and tell them.
I've actually, the price was so good. The guy was so knowledgeable. They haven't had it done yet. But I have a couple windows in my house that need to be replaced. I'm going to call them, and I'll mention AM and PM, the Window World. Whatever.
There you go. That's all we ask. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you, Russell.
All right. Just wanted to let you know. Have a good day.
You too. See, that was his daughter. These young people. Oh. They don't know. They don't know what we need. We need the people to say they're AM and the PM, and that is the case at Johnny Londoff Chevrolet. And I don't... I'm trying my best not to talk about this Corvette, but I watched another video on this Corvette. Holy cow, this thing is unbelievable. Let's not talk about it. Let's talk about the rest of the Chevy lineup, because that's what about 99% of you are interested in. A lot of you in the Silverado pickup truck a couple of decades ago, maybe it was 15, 20 years ago, for the first time, there were more pickup trucks sold than cars in this country. More people drove a pickup truck than drove a car, and that's still the case. I on occasion, find myself wanting a pickup truck, but I don't need a pickup. You know, it's like I'd like to have one, but I only need one about twice a year, so it'd be kind of stupid to eat up. That's the other thing. You get one with a crew cab, it's like a car. It's like a car with the world's biggest trunk on it in the back. So if you're in the market for a pickup truck, here's the other thing that's going to happen. Now that we're in the winter, a lot of you folks are going to be slipping and sliding when the bad weather comes back, and it will. And then you're going to go, that's it, I got to get a 4x4 because your driveway's real steep and even a front-wheel drive struggles. Do us a favor, shop Johnny Londoff Chevrolet for that four-wheel drive vehicle or whatever vehicle it is. Just do that for us. Will you just give them a chance? Give them a shot at your business. The rest is up to you and up to them. You know where they are, the Washington Elizabeth exit, North County off 270, where they've been for coming up on, oh my goodness, coming up on 50 years. It was 1960. Whew. Big anniversary coming up next year. Johnny Landoff Chevrolet, 24/7 at Landoff.com. Dan Buffa will be here in just a few moments, and I got a lot of stuff I want to throw in him and get his take on it, because I've seen all the movies we'll probably see now for 2 or 3 months. We got them all done. And he'll be in, and we'll take your calls, too, about TV shows, movies, or whatever, because it is 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is locally owned 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio. I'm Tom Ryan.